listening to Medina's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have carried the ideas of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if need be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. You tuned into Medina's Radio, changing the world one voice at a time.
So we are back on the bench room. It's been a while. Back on Madiba's Radio. I'm joined by Coach Mluleke Ntsapho. He's a SABC commentator, and he's also on FM on Ulanuga, the BE, the Breakfast Ekuseni. So today we're talking about the British and Irish Lions series tour of South Africa. Tamlu, how are you doing?
Cox, I'm good. I can say, but it's very cold. Very, very cold. But yeah, we are keeping warm. What can we do, man? How are you doing? Are you good?
No, all is well. Just a bit cold in Cape Town as well. Obviously, we year all year for the Lions series, but it is very cold in Cape Town. But I've seen there's been some bad weather, very bad weather, HEQ, as they call it.
Yeah, I think, and the surroundings, to be fair. If you go towards Queenstown as well, there's a bit of snow. It's that cold. It's probably the coldest we've experienced in a while. So, but we are surviving, and hopefully, the farmers, you're thinking about people in the streets, the homeless, and you're thinking about people that are living in the shacks, and in Obanoko, Bangabagan, Basay, Fuangoko, especially where they're also.
Of course, of course. Tamlu, obviously we're speaking about the Lions series. Let me get straight to it. Obviously, we know the SAA played against the Lions. Areas of what have you identified as the areas, the positive areas and negative areas that you've identified in the SAA game versus the Lions last week, Saturday?
Oh, well, it's very difficult at the moment to really understand, firstly, what Warren Gatland was looking for in that warm-up game against SAA. Mind you, Gorgs, he's played a couple of games against Sharks.
Yes.
He played against the Lions before that. So he probably knew what he wanted in terms of the combinations. So it wouldn't be, I wouldn't say that was a game he was really looking forward to. Meanwhile, conversely, on the other side, South Africa were looking for a game like that to be able to identify a few points and maybe give some guys some of the some game time, and especially under in an ideal pressure situation. So if I look at that and I look at two camps, I obviously would say that South Africa gained more in that game than the British and Irish. And there's nothing to take in terms of the score, let's be honest. Whether the British and Irish Lions won in that game or lost, it to me, it didn't matter. Of course, it does in terms of the bragging rights and for a touring side. I mean, we know that the British and Irish, they pride themselves when they tour, and they don't come often. So when they do, they make it count. But I will tell you, with three test matches that we're about to witness, you would definitely say that it meant nothing to them.
Of course. Tamlu, six changes from that SAA game versus the Lions for the Springboks. Your initial reaction from the selections?
I'm quite surprised to see Kwakha Smith. I'm happy. I'm excited to see him there. But I didn't think that the Springboks were going to have Kwakha Smith late. You had Jesper Visser. You have Reinhard Elstad. You also have an option of Siam Thanda Kolisi, who can play in that position as well. So the thinking would probably to go with someone who's who really likes to play. He's got speed, expresses himself. I mean, he comes from a sevens background with Cocker Smith. He, even in the South African camp for a long while, that I can probably think that they would have sort of prepared him for this kind of a game. That's one surprise for me. I'm not particularly fast when it comes to the front rowers, because there's not a lot that I can tell you about it, but I am surprised to see Oxenchair with Trevor Nyakane and Bonambi. I expected him to be in the starting 15. So no Titsoff, no Frans Malherbe, who I would have expected to be those up front. I'm not trying to say anything negative or bad about it, but in terms of height, South Africa do lack when it comes to scrum there, which I think it might be an advantage when you look at Ken Owens and Wyn Jones and Cowan Dickey. So those are going to be the two, the first and foremost, the most well-watched piece in terms of a set pieces. Will South Africa be able to overcome that height issue? Yes, they don't have a problem when it comes to experience and having played at that level. So yes, those are the surprises in the team. But otherwise, when I look at it throughout, I'm not really surprised.
Okay, Len, now let's stick to the forwards, because I think I've got Baton Porser joining me later on. I think we're going to be speaking with him regarding the background. Let's stick to with the forwards. Now, I was going to ask about Dan Dupreer. Yes, Jacques Minaber and Rassi did mention that they wanted guys to have a game time under the belts. I mean, Makazoloma Pimpi nor Hunter Pollard haven't had game time under the belt. So maybe it was for him to maybe see him play. What about the likes of Dan Dupreer at eighth man for the
Springboks? I think when it comes to that, there's a thing called muscle memory. Obviously, we're not done playing, having games under your belt. As you said, that some of the guys haven't had a lot of game time, but they've done the Springboks in numerous occasions. So they probably would know at that level. It will be just a memory switch when it comes to that. So they probably be relying on that other than having Dan Dupreer, who has played for the Springboks, yes.
Yeah.
But has he played in that position before? So that will be the question.
100%. Now let's stick with the eighth man. What do you think gave Kwakha the edge over the other eighth man?
That's plenty of, if you look in that forward pack, you're looking at the brute, you're looking at the strength that they're going to be providing. But you also want the ball players. You want someone at the back who's, to me, it gives me an impression that had they have someone like Noche, who if he didn't have an injury, they probably would have gone for someone like that, a dark horse like that. And someone that can a good passer, has got an eye, he's not going to use much of a brute as well, and adds a lot of pace. I think that's a skill. It's a skill set that they probably looked at and probably thought that there's a lot of sameness in that loose trio. Why not having someone like that, like Kwakha Smith? And to me, it's a good pick. It's someone whom I didn't expect when it comes to that. Springbok's holistic approach is about having those strong set phases, and also it's just to try and hit you up front at the start of the game until you relent, and then they can start playing in your territory. And a lot of kicking, of course, we do know that that's what's going to happen. And the British and Irish Lions will expect that. So you sort of, in your mind, before they mentioned the team, before they named the side, you knew that they were going to go with power. But that, to me, is a surprise, in my opinion. So, and I'm looking forward to seeing him. And make no mistake that Dwayne from Ireland would have played. And it's a different player to Kwakha Smith. Dan Dupreer would probably be in the mold of Dwayne from Ireland, if we're being honest. So they chose that kind of a slight difference in terms of it's not definable. You can see it. I mean, you know what Quagga possesses,
yes.
And you know what Ben Dupree possesses, and also is great for me, Alan. So it's a good pick for me, but I'm looking forward for it. If it clicks, we're in for a good game.
100%. We'll touch base on the matchups later on the show. Now let's move on to the front row. You mentioned the height problem. Do you think it was a good match of having the guys who are shorter pairing in the front row starting, then the guys on the bench obviously over 1.8? I mean, I did mention this to Jock Nunaba and Bongi Mbonambe, and they didn't really take too much into it about the height. And I mean, think about it. All the guys are starting are under 1.8 meters. Do you think that might help them for this week end against the Lions?
Oh, but I mean, you watch rugby, Cogs. You watch our local rugby. You watch at the start of before COVID Super Rugby when we were still travelling. You look at the Sharks. You look at the Sharks and how they play. Up front, Oxen Chair was, magnificent. From Cheetahs joining the Sharks, and even now, whether he has some struggles or not in terms of the balance or not, I'm not an expert in that area, but I can tell for sure that there is a difference. There is a slight advantage as well if you use it to your best of your ability when it comes to height. But also, the height can be a bit of a problem if the guys which are shorter are able to play into their strength when it comes to it. Of course, an issue of how low to gravity in terms of the balance, if you can have you can be able to keep that up for a very long time, there'll be some gamesmanship, of course, within the game, which we will not be able to see. We'll not be able to point it out. The referee might see something wrong, but that was probably initiated by someone who isn't on the wrong in terms of the referee's interpretation of the rules. So those things are things that I think Provision Irish Lions will be discussing. That, listen, we do have this advantage. We think we can use this how. But as I said, that the pedigree of these three guys, these forwards, in domestic scenes, from what we've seen even in the Springbok setup, is that they can match up against the best. But that's just the only weakness that we can see. Perhaps we can't prove it if it is a real weakness when it comes to height. But we'll have to wait and see.
Now, speak on matchups again. Oxen Chair, I think he's only got like two caps under his belt. He'll be going up against the Tyke Furlong, who's a world-class tight end prop.
He's one of the best
tight end props in the world currently. We know that Ox is very good in the loose, very dynamic prop. And does very well under when the game is more open. And we know that the first 20 minutes is going to be more tight, tussle, very, very tough. Do you think they might have made an error there? Or maybe perhaps they should have let him play the last 20 minutes when the game is much more loose?
I'm not. I would think that we've watched enough of the Springboks in November 2019 and then October, of course, at the World Cup, where they would give whoever that plays, and especially in the four packs, and they would say, okay, empty your tank. Go on. Yeah. Whether it's your tank has 35 minutes of giving it all, when you're done, you're done.
Mm.
We've got guys that are sitting on the bench that can finish your job and can do it. You know, hey, so the bomb squad, which is, by the way, it's the 6-3 split once again. 6-2 split. 5-3 split. And once again, it shows the dominance of being forward orientated anyway from the South African team. So you've got enough in the tank. Go and give it all. Or it could be that the guys which are sitting there, your Kitsof and Malarbe, will be sitting and taking notes and saying that if we are coming here, this is what we lack. This is what in this test match, which has started now, the British and Irish forward pack or front three are used at in terms of the height, as we were saying, that there could be a bit of a height. They're starting low, and now they get guys who are matching them in terms of the height. Mm. I do not know, but I just think that it could be something that is part of the plan as well. To start with this slightly inexperienced, if you include in chair, because Trevor Nyakana has played quite a great deal of test matches for South Africa, albeit being coming on as a substitute. So there's a plan in it, but I think if the Lions are using that to their advantage, it could be a very difficult or long day for South Africa if they do get their ascendancy early doors. Mm. So they also need to look out for it.
100%. Now we speak about the bomb squad. We know there's not going to be 6-2 split this week. It's going to be 5-3. Rassie and Jock did mention, and Upurastik did mention that the reason why they're going this route is that because Makozuluma Pimpi, Hunter Pollard, and a few others as well, they didn't have much game time in the belts. So obviously they wouldn't want them to go the full distance. Hence why we have an additional flyer from the bench. Do you think it's an advantage having the likes of Reinhard Alstap on the bench, who can cover loose forward and can cover lock as well?
Reinhard Alstap playing in Europe as well, so he would have been familiar with most of the guys on the other side of the team as well. Very hard, had his nails. I mean, we've known him from the days of Western Province and having grown up in South Africa, understanding the conditions. And that knowledge is going to come in handy too when he comes here. But I think it was genius of him. Also, I must say again, I didn't expect Reinhard Alstap to be among those. But if you look at it, the core of the Springbok team is probably the one that took part in the World Cup. Most of the guys that played there. Yeah, I do expect him to really provide some impetus, Reinhard Alstap, when he comes on the bench or from the bench as well.
Now let's look at the Lions' selection. Obviously, Warren Gatland brought back the likes of Alwyn Jones. Are you surprised that he's starting this weekend and captaining the side?
Miraculous recovery. He spoke about it after the Japan's game. You remember that when he was saying, if he's okay to play, then he will definitely rejoin them. Mm. And I thought, it really didn't look good. When he held that arm, I thought that was game over.
Yeah.
Went off, and when there were murmurs straight after that, I think it might have been a week after that, that he could be rejoining the Lions team, I thought, okay, the reason why, you look at the Lions team, they lack leadership. Mm. Yes, they do in terms of experience in the back line, but the people in the back line are probably not in Warren Gatland's plans, those experienced guys that would have played in New Zealand before that 4 years ago. So the recovery of Alwyn Jones probably would have pressed a lot in terms of the Lions team, because the plan would have been evolving around him as a man that leads from the front, wise, experienced, good communicator as well. And in the second role, he's a massive addition now that he's back in the side. So, yes, I won't say I was surprised that he's starting. Of course, he's the captain. He's 100% fit, so he must start. Where I'm probably surprised was the recovery, in my opinion, that he's recovered. The turnaround was just surprising, in my opinion. When you look, but I got to be honest with you. If we're still talking about the forward pack, to see Courtney Lewis playing at flank, and you got quite plenty in store. Mm. He is a lock by trade.
Yes.
Do you understand? And it tells you that they want to match the Springboks up front when it comes to that. They want that bit of brute as well, which that's something that I'm looking forward to.
And if it's now. Alwyn Jones, right? Obviously, he just came back from a shoulder injury. He'll be going up against one of the most physical human specimen ever, Eben Etzebeth, and then Franco Mostert as was obviously not a person should be taken lightly. Do you think he'll be physically ready to front up against the box?
Yeah, the jury's out there when it comes to that. I mean, you still need a lot of games. Hesitation. Whoopi, he came off the bench in the last game against the Stormers. It didn't do much. So whether that is the case or not, because it can play in the mind of a player as well. You know, you don't want to go hard You want to see if it's going to hold up for a good few minutes. And then as you get into the game, you get into the groove, and probably that's where we're going to see him as time goes. But as you said, that the matchups, which aren't really necessarily what it's about when it comes to this, when it comes to that, I don't think in terms of the second rower, that's what you meet. You don't meet your opposite number. But with the South Africans, physicality at the start will test him and his fitness as well. So it might be a worry for Warren Gatland going forward, whether they will have their captain playing. I'm not too sure if he's going to play 80 minutes. My bet is in the second half, Ellie, you'll probably take him off to see if he can go for a good measure.
Now let's stick on the lobs for the Lions. I mean, we've seen Ian Henderson has been having a great season and obviously been performing well for the Lions. Are you surprised by his omission in the 23?
I'm surprised, but I also think that when it comes to the method and what Warren Gatland probably wanted, as I said, to even prefer someone who is not a lock by trade and put him in a starting, who is a lock by trade and put him at flank, it tells me that there is something that he's planning. Mm. He has communicated with the Irish lock, Ian Henderson. But I was surprised. I expected Ian Henderson to feature quite a lot. Mm. He kept in one of the games, if I'm not mistaken, one of the warm-up games.
Yes.
At the time, I thought that he probably would have locked the starting place. But then the arrival of Alwyn Jones would probably had him in second thought. As you said, he had a fantastic season up north.
100%. Now let's look at the guys, at other guys who missed out as well. Faletau, give us your opinion on Faletau's few games in South Africa so far. And do you think that Jack Cronin deserves that start at 8?
Do we know a lot about Jack Cronin? I don't think so. Was there South Africans maybe? And there'll be a lot of research being done as to what they were probably expecting in terms of Faletau. We know what he can do. We've seen him playing for Wales. He's played for British and Irish Lions before that. So that's what you, when you're looking at that makeup of the British and Irish Lions, you probably have his name there in the starting 15. So there are a lot of games that are being played here. Like I said, once again, there probably would have been a clear message as to, you're going to play this game. This is what we're looking for. And that's why we don't have you in the starting. So he said it. I mean, when you guys asked him, and he said it probably the decision that he had to make, which we're going to go and talk about as time goes as well, was to leave out people like Owen Farrell, Faletau, I think, and to have the makeup of the team that he's had, and also a scrum half, which no one expected to see Conor Murray sitting out. And I mean, that's a huge surprise for me.
And what about the last one, the Curry and Curry over Hamish Watson? Is that a good call? Although Hamish will obviously be on the bench, but obviously, do you think it's a good call having Curry starting?
Interesting, because I was having a chat with a friend of mine, got the same composition, and that was before the team was picked. And I saw a lot of feature when it came to that Hamish was penciled as a replacement, and you saw a lot of top guys starting in the games that I deem as where British and Irish were trying to get something as important in the warm-ups. So that, to me, when I was exchanging with a friend, I thought that Tom Curry, because of what he has done at the back of the World Cup, playing for England, of course, the Kamikaze Kids, you still remember him and Underhill. Good partnership, by the way, young and inexperienced. But now maybe the time is right for him to stake a claim. Probably this test match would be his making, where Warren Gatland would say, okay, all right, the thing that you should be in this, but he'll feel undone, isn't it, Hamish, you feel that he missed out. That's what's in thought, that he probably would have nailed the place starting in 15.
100%. Now let's look at the interesting matchups for this weekend's game, the front rows. We saw that the Lions were not really going for the scrum option when they got the penalties. I mean, inside the swim box or SAA's 22, they were just going for quick taps. Is that a worrying concern? I mean, what are your thoughts on the front row matchups?
To me, it felt like, as you said, and you keep referring to that game, because we both know that Rossi picked a probably near strength test team in that game. Maybe they didn't want to show their cards. The British and Irish didn't want to go as physical. As you said, they kept making those taps, didn't kick for the line to try and get the drive going and match up the physicality of the Springboks at the time. So to me, it's something that's in store that I think you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of things that you didn't see in games leading up to this test match straight away. There's no doubt, in my opinion, that they want to match the South Africans with physicality. As you said, that the front rows didn't look as if they were up for it in a SAA game. This is going to be a different story come 6 o'clock on Saturday.
Do you think the Lions might surprise us in a few areas in the game?
I know the well-polished back line, in my opinion. I know they rely a lot on Dan Biggar to provide in terms of the direction that is kicking. When it comes to test matches, different story, different switch. Up front, there will be a surprise, that's for sure. And I think they will confront, as much as South Africa are known, but they're very confrontational up front. They will confront South Africa. And you can't relent. So if South Africa is starting to hit the Lions hard up front, you can't back down. It's a sign that the South Africans have opened that door, and they will keep doing that. They will keep knocking, and we know those drives. And they will keep kicking. If you get penalized, they put pressure on you. They've got guys who are quick on the ground as well. I mean, Quagga Smith, we've mentioned him, as much as he's easy on the eye when it comes to his hands, but he's also quick on the ground. So you're going to get a lot of those. You're going to get a lot of those contests when it comes to point of breakdowns. But if you are giving in, I think, in my opinion, you're in for a long, long test match, and it won't be difficult. It won't be easy to recover, and especially going to the second test match as well. So they got to be up for it. They have to be up for it, the Lions. If they really want to match the Springboks, that physicality needs to be up there from the get-go. Nick Clary, are we going to talk about him? I was going to say that, but I'm a bit worried when it comes to the Northern Hemisphere referees. It's part and parcel of the game. It's part and parcel of what we have come to know as well. Whether the Springboks are going to be able to adapt to that, it remains to be seen.
Obviously, we've had a bit of issue with the Northern Hemisphere refs trying to adapt to their interpretation of the games. And we seem to be a struggle with the French referees, to be particular. But let's see what happens after the first test, and we can come back to and review the first test or the second test. But then I just want to ask, do you think the Springboks are predictable? Because, I mean, we know that Fafa will obviously be doing those contestable kicks, the forwards, and then obviously Dalendi will obviously be running direct at the line. Do you think the Springboks are predictable, and should we expect anything, any tricks from Rassi and Jock and Budastik?
It's all good to be predictable, Gorgs, but there's another. Can you negate that predictability?
Yeah.
So you know exactly what you're going to get from the Springboks. Maybe you may say, yes, they are predictable. That's effective. Wales can sit, I'm talking about Wales now, Wales can sit on the other side and say, Springboks were very predictable in the semifinals of the World Cup. We played enterprising rugby. England played an enterprising rugby, bruising contest. A mixture of it against New Zealand. in the semifinals. Are they sitting there with that good and easy on the eye rugby with no trophy? The Springboks, as boring as it is to you, it's very effective. It breaks the defense, and which is what they're going to do to you. You know what they're going to do. They are predictable, but can you combat that? That's the question. So they won't be worried about what Peter de Villiers is saying or anyone else that is saying. The fact of the matter is, are you able to hold it off? Are you able to beat South Africa in their own game, or perhaps in your own game with something different that is not going to be the same as theirs, but they're going to come to you? Are you ready for that? That's the question. So they are predictable, but that's not a bad thing to be predictable sometimes.
100%. Tamlu, coach, last question, prediction for the first test.
I think a game of 5 points. I think South Africa first test, and let's see. There'll be cobwebs on their way to the second test. Lions will probably pitch up in the second test, but I reckon that they'll run out of steam. They'll be good at the start, and we'll have to wait and see whether they'll be able to win. Remember, South Africa won last time they were here.
That's true. Tamlu, thanks for giving us your insight of the preview of the first test. We'll review again the first test and then obviously give another preview of the second test the next week. Thanks for joining me again on Madiba's Radio on the Bench Warmer.
Cheers, man. Keep well. Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Fikile Mbalula, commonly known as Razmataz Mbawizi Fikile on Flick. You are listening to Madiba's Radio. Keep rocking the Metro, Nana. Let's go.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
Well, so I'm joined by Brayton Porser, former BOC, civil sport commentator. Brayton, welcome to the Bench Warmer.
Thank you, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So obviously today we're talking about the Lions series. Obviously this week is the first test against the Lions. Earlier today I spoke to Nuleka Ntsapho, who's an SABC sport commentator. We spoke about the forwards, but now let's move on to the backs. I was going to ask your initial thoughts on that SAA game versus the Lions last weekend.
Yeah, I think it was the Lions, you know, sort of first test, if you like. And, you know, especially when the intensity went up a little bit, we saw some of the Lions players, especially at the back, you know, sort of felt that pressure. I mean, the likes of Liam Williams, who went off early, suddenly there was a lot of doubt, you know, especially at the back, and the confidence was out the window. So, I mean, expect a hell of an intensity this weekend. I think we all know what's going to come from the Springbok side. I mean, you know, what has worked for us over the last decades, especially when they do it effectively, it really puts teams under pressure. And now we also have that X factor, you know, in players like Lukanya Arm, Tristan Kolbe, you know, Belinda Roo can certainly change the game in a moment. And that's why I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to see, you know, obviously we all know the Boks will certainly start off conservatively. I mean, they would like to get the physical edge because, I mean, that's what they do well. But, you know, when it's loose and when the count is on, I'd like to see, you know, players like Lucanio and Cheslin and Makazoli get the ball in hand in a little bit of space and have a go, you know. I think they got the balance right, you know, under Rossi, and now obviously now that Jock has taken over, they certainly understand, you know, what the management wants. And it's gonna be one hell of a game. I mean, it won't be easy, I can tell you that. I mean, this is a really strong British and Irish Lions team. I mean, we heard what Warren Gatland said about him and his management team. It's been one of the most difficult sort of team selections, you know, in his career. And I mean, the man had an unbelievable career with Wales. So it tells you how difficult it was for them to get it right.
Yeah, now let's go back a bit. That game against the Bulls, SA game against the Bulls. If you were Warren Gatland, or let me say Jock Nienaber, would you really take anything out of the game looking at the performance-wise?
Yeah, again, I mean, if you analyze the Lions team, especially the back line, you know, the last couple of weeks, obviously a lot of the games were really easy for them. You know, they got over the game line quite an easy with their forwards. And then it's easy to give the ball to the backs, you know, and run into spaces all the time. And that's why the wingers like Duane Panamera and Josh Adams scored a lot of tries. But you saw in that SAA game as well, you know, when the Bulls played the SAA game, or against the SAA, that, you know, when Johan Goosen you know, started running, you know, at those boys, suddenly there were gaps appearing. And then that's one thing that I think the Lions can certainly target, you know, obviously without the fans who are really tight at the moment. But when things are getting a bit scrappy and it's loose, they certainly got a chance because they got good runners in Elliot Daly, Anthony Watson, Stuart Hawk. Those are all guys on instinct. You know, when they get the ball, they want to run the ball. let's be honest about it. So if they can speed it up and get it right to speed it up, you know, and have a hell of a tempo against this Bucks team, they certainly in with a chance. But if the Bucks manage to play on their terms, slow the ball down, you know, don't make things too fast, the Lions, the Blessing Artists Lions, will certainly have a long day.
So after that Lions game against the SAA, there were six changes. Your thoughts on the backline? Because obviously the starting backline is the one that starts in the Rugby World Cup. Are you satisfied?
Yeah, I'm pretty much satisfied. I mean, it's like I said, I mean, those are the guys who certainly, you know, played in the World Cup final. So the experience and the togetherness and the unity, you know, it's there. I mean, these guys, they know each other inside out. Some of them have certainly been playing some good rugby. I mean, Damien Dalende, he's been a standout for Munster after his injury. I mean, Jason Colby, what can we say about Jason? You know, in my opinion, the best rugby player in the world. Billy has been playing consistently in Japan. Makazole also went to Japan. So these guys are match fit, you know. People were obviously worried that some of our books, you know, I mean, obviously guys like Sia, you know, unfortunately we had COVID, didn't get enough sort of match fitness. But, you know, if you look at the back line, I'm pretty much, you know, satisfied and at ease. You know, I won't go sleep, you know, too bothered about them not having match fitness. I mean, a guy like Makazole and Pimpi, we all know his qualities. He's an absolute, you know, great ambassador and professional. And I won't doubt for any minute that he will give 150%, you know, And I do feel, you know, the likes of Faf, you know, he will be a nuisance again. And I think, I mean, he knows a lot of those guys, you know, you play with them, you know, against them a lot in Europe. So, man, it's building up to be some kind of a test match. Like, it's going to be some humding, and I'm looking forward to it. I think the neutral rugby players as well are looking forward to, or neutral rugby fan. And we can't wait for Saturday. I mean, we're all so excited to see what's going to happen.
No, of course. Talking about and Coach Stick, before the series started, they wanted the players to get some game time under the belts. Are you a bit concerned about Mapimpi and Polo not having much game time ahead of this much anticipated fixture?
Well, look, I would have loved to see Andre get more game time, but you know, as a winger, it's not that difficult if you don't have enough game time. I mean, you know, being a winger all my life as well, it was pretty much, you know, sort of easy to slot in when you had an injury. You come back after, say, a couple of weeks or a couple of months. But Andre's position is pivotal. I'm a little bit concerned because of Andre's fitness. And I saw that, you know, Elton and Damien is on the bench. So that's going to be very interesting. You know, we saw Elton having a bit of a tough time against that Bulls side. You know, it was... I would have loved him to control it more, especially when they were ahead. So that's my only worry. But having said that, you know, when the pressure is on, hopefully, you know, he will come through. But you're absolutely right. I'm a little bit concerned about Andre, but Andre is a class act, you know. I mean, he was by far the best number 10 at the World Cup in 2019. And for some reason, when he put on the Springbok jersey, he's a different player. You know, some players, when they do put on their jersey, they become animals and monsters. And I think Andre, with his calm, collective sort of laid-back style, you know, he gives that calmness to the backline and the forwards as well. Because 10 is a pivotal position, you know, when it comes to these huge test matches. I mean, we saw the influence and the impact in the cool head of a Mone Steyn in 29. For me, it's important that, you know, the loose trio also sort of, you know, protect Andre as well, because he's going to be gold for us. I'm so happy sort of he got back in town from his injury, you know, to be able to run the field.
Now, let's stick on the point of the fly-off positions. Obviously, we know that Alton will be on the bench. Are you kind of surprised that maybe they didn't go with Mone Steyn? Because obviously, we saw what he did against the Bulls. And you obviously he's been having a great season as well. What about Damien Willemse as well? Maybe covering a 10, maybe giving a last of Jesse Krill a spot on the bench as well, just to nullify the bulk of the outside backs of the Lions.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Nate, if it wasn't my team running on this weekend, you know, I would certainly have changed the bench. I would have put on Damon Valencia, and I would have put on Apalele Fassi. You know, I'm a big fan of Apalele Fassi, and I'm sure, you know, Coach Tick and Jaka are having sleepless nights, you know, sort of to give him the opportunity to get him in the 23. You know, he's got what it takes to be a Springbok great in my eyes, you know, and his first game on the wing, not even in preferred position, you know, he was a standout. So I'd like to see, you know, I mean, things change quickly, you know, a week is a long time in rugby. So I'd like to see in the next week or so even that, you know, the coaches already try and get Apalele in as soon as possible. And then Damon Valencia, you know, the times he's come on, you know, at 12. I mean, he made a huge impact. He was physical. He's a youngster who's hungry for rugby as well. So I would have molded those two young guys, you know, onto the bench and eventually, obviously, when the older guys move on, you know, for them to take over. So I think what Rossi and Jock is doing well is, and Mr. Stick, you know, is to give youngsters an opportunity and let them believe that, you know, if you're good enough, you're going to get a chance. And that's why I think the likes of, unfortunately, Mone Steyn and Frans Steyn, you know, hasn't made even the bench. But again, you know, we can carry on and talk a lot about, you know, certain positions and stuff. But I had to sort of get it in to say that, you know, I can't wait to see Apalele Fassi in that Bok 23 as soon as possible.
Brady, obviously you played you're a former Bok yourself, just on the wing. Coach Stick mentioned the Lions' strength, which is the pace and the bulk and the outside backs. If you were Coach Stick, what would you do to nullify these threats?
Well, obviously, you know, defensively, I think we know what it takes to cut down their spaces. I mean, look at, you know, a guy like Duane van der Merwe against Jason Colby. I mean, he's a massive guy. You know, he obviously had a lot of South African beef before he left, you know. He became a big man. Exactly, the boat in Budapest, you know. So Duane is certainly, you know, he's used the opportunities. And I think that he got his place well deserved. But when you look at the Bok defense, especially from first phase, you know, it's a hell of a, you know, quick line on defense. The line speed is really, really quick. And the guys obviously try to cut down the spaces on the outside. And that's where you have guys like Makazole and Cheslin who really understands that, you know. I remember that first year when we played in the 2004 Tri Nations, you know, it was a difficult skill. You know, it was sort of, you know, me, my side was Percy Montgomery. And on the other side, you know, it was Brian Abana. And we were at times, you know, if we didn't get it right, we were badly exposed. But I have to say that, you know, up till now, Cheslin and Makazole has done it well. When to shoot up, when to hang back, when to wait for the guys on the inside to sort of, you know, just buy time for them to help shadow the guys out. And that's a hell of a difficult skill for the wing. So for me, I'm very calm when I see Chesi and Makazole defend on the wing because they understand the system, but it's a very, very tough system. If you get it wrong, you're in big trouble.
100%. Now, Lukanyu Am, obviously, he's starting the outside center. Let's say for the scenario sake, it goes down. Who would you put there? Because, I mean, I did look at the backs for this weekend. I mean, who would you put there if scenario sake, he goes down?
Yeah. Let's say Lukanya goes down, and I mean, it's, you know, it's just my opinion from what I've seen on, from the outside. You know, Coach Stick might do it differently, but if he goes down, I would put Damien Valencia on 12, and I will put Damien D'Alendo on 13, you know, to start off. Okay. You obviously have the option as well to put, you know, Andre Pollard at 12 as well, and move Damien, you know, D'Alendo to 13 as well. But again, that's a scenario that you're going to have, you know, when the pressure comes and the coaches will have to make, you know, I'm sure that normally what happens in a test week as well, guys like, you know, your Damien Valencia and Elton Yankees will run at different positions to make sure that everybody's covered. Yes. So they will have it covered. I mean, how it's going to work, we don't know, but they will have it covered because these guys are professional and let's hope that Lukanya Arm won't get any injuries.
Yeah, let's hope, yeah. But let's move on swiftly because I know we're running out of time. Now we look on to the Lions team. Are you surprised by Murray's omission in the match day 23?
Very surprised, Nate. And I can tell you what, when you look at that backline, it's almost like a barbarian style backline. And that tells you these guys want to give the ball air, they want to run into spaces, they want to you know, make it a fast tempo game, and they want to, you know, get the offloads going. And again, I can't stress it enough, you know, guys like Kwakha, Peter Steph the Tway, Damien De Allende, Malcolm Marks when he come on, Bongi Mbonambe, those guys are going to have to play to the ball, you know. We don't have an out-and-out fetcher, you know, because obviously Sia, when Dwayne plays, Sia is more of a releasing sort of loose forward, you know, obviously trying to hang on, you know, on the outside sort of channels. And Dwayne Vermeulen is not playing, so Kwakha, I'm sure, you know, he got given a task in what his role will be. We're going to have to wait and see the weekend. But those guys, the back line, it's a back line who's full of rugby. You know, they are guys who can hurt any team on any given day. So if we allow them time and space, we're going to have a long day. But having said that as well, you know, our defensive strategy is one of a really solid one if it does work out and everybody understands what to do. But again, I'm very surprised that Connor Murray is not playing. Ellie Price, he likes to take the quick steps. Dan Bigger also, you know, he can be good tactically as well as you know, exciting as well. He's a guy also who likes to run. So all those players, I mean, Henshaw, Elliot Daly, man, those guys want to play rugby. So I'm looking forward to the contrast. The contrast is going to be the British and Irish Lions wants to speed it up, fast tempo, and the box want to slow it down and make sure, you know, they force the British and Irish Lions into mistakes, and from there they will pound.
Second last question, the outside backs again. Watson, Duan Funamava in, Josh Adams, the try scoring machine, and Liam Williams, who caused havoc against the Lions, I mean, against New Zealand, they lost the Lions series. Are you surprised about those calls?
Yeah, I am surprised. You know, I actually went, you know, prior to the team being announced, I went for Duan Funamava, Stuart Hawk, and Josh Adams. So I'm really surprised that Josh Adams is not getting a starting berth. He will certainly thrive, you know, in the way they want to play. But again, you know, the coaches, they have their reasons why they haven't done it. And Liam Williams, he might maybe still, you know, sort of nurse maybe a niggle. And I think maybe that's why, you know, Coach Gatlin decided to not start with him. He'll probably come on in the second half as well, if need be, you know, and depending on how fast the tempo will be. But I'm really surprised. I think the omission of Josh Adams is a massive one for me as a winger, because I've seen, he certainly impressed me. And all the games that he's played, you know, he almost every time got a try. And he's a guy who, he knows where the try line is. He runs into space, is nice. He's good under the high ball. But again, you know, Duan Funamava, also well deserved. It's a really, really tough ask, you know, I thought from Gatlin's side. So, but they picked the team, and now these guys are going to go out and obviously try and perform. And but again, it's good. The Arctic competition, you know, it's the first of three tests, and a lot can happen in the next couple of weeks.
Then last question, Bates. Your prediction on the first test?
Sure. Yeah, it's a tough one, you know. Even if I wasn't a box supporter, I probably would have gone a draw. Yeah. But I'm going to go with a box by about 5 points. It's going to be pretty close, Nate. Obviously, you know, we're playing at home, unfortunately, or sadly, there's no crowd. But I do feel that, you know, the physicality of the box, the bullying of the box will be a key part. And if our tight five, you know, with the guys from the bench can sort of, you know, make them soft up front, we certainly have a real good chance to win the test.
All right, Bates, thanks so much for joining me on the bench. Let's hope for a box victory this weekend.
Absolutely, Nate. Thank you so much for having me.
Cool, thanks, man.
You know, there are times where before you say something, you gotta think hard and deep, because there's a greater possibility it is a reflection of either the psyche, the mentality, the character in the person, or it reflects a bit of background. And for fear of exposing where you come from, you think twice and consider perspective.
In your face.
In the olden days when Jesus Christ went on through his lessons, he was never specific in his references. He would always use symbols. Because whenever a symbol is used in a process where something has to be rectified, none of us gets consumed. If I were to refer to somebody who would, "Hey, Marumfwetu Mnyama," I would put it like that because I am. But if I were not, then I would put it in a way that has respect in what I'm referring to. I hope you understand.
I don't.
Thanks, Matthew.
If I could start with you, please, and just a word on your own personal preparation for this test match, physically and mentally. We know you've had your share of challenges. How has it been in the build-up week to this test match?
It's been good. Obviously, it was tough having tested positive for COVID, and obviously I had to follow the protocols, I had to isolate and everything. But obviously I stayed in tune with what the team was happening, you know, in every meeting online and following what the team is doing and looking at all the prep for the week. And obviously I had to come back and do all the tests, and I was successful in that. And when I came into training, you know, I felt good. I felt really good. I was fortunate enough not to have any symptoms. So, it felt like I hadn't been away from the team for a while.
Sir, it's the third time a professional hero that the British and Irish Lions are playing a World Cup winning Springbok team. I know, especially the Springboks of 2009, who won the World Cup in 2007, they saw playing this series as a massive added incentive to their careers as a whole. Do you get the sense from this group that it's another step up? And also, what does it mean to you personally to be leading your country against the Lions?
No, it's 100%. We on the same mind as the guys in 2007. I was speaking to John Smith last night. You know, he was saying how excited he is, even though he's not playing. And for us as players, I know we've had our challenges. You know, guys had long injuries. They had to work hard to come back here, and that's all we've been speaking about. You know, some of us will never get this opportunity again. It's rare. You know, a guy like France and Monet who have it for the second time. You know, but we know most of us here will never get this opportunity again, so we're giving it all we can. And, you know, guys that are not playing as well, they're putting in input because, you know, they want us to be successful, and we want to win this thing. So that's the mindset for us. We'll give it everything we can to make sure that we get the result that we want.
Just a last question for you before I ask one of Stoker. Just on the back row selection, obviously Quagga and Dwayne, very different types of number eight in some respects. And you and Peter Steph forming two-thirds of the World Cup final in back row. Is there any sort of change in role in terms of the balance of the loose trio?
No, there's actually no change in role at all. Quagga has played here before, but it is tough for us not to have Dwayne. He's always been a big part of our success, and he is completely different player to Quagga. So Quagga is going to play the game that he knows and the game that the team wants him to play. You know, so I'm looking forward to see what he's going to do. But at the end of the day, the three of us have to work together, myself, him and Peter. And I think that will help a lot. You know, there's not a lot of change. It's not like he's a new guy in the system. He's always been there. He knows exactly what to do, and he knows our strengths and weaknesses. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do. It's an opportunity for him. And, yeah, we'll definitely miss Dwayne, and we hope he's recovering well. And yeah, and hopefully he'll be back soon.
Thank you, Sia. Stoker, from a coaching perspective, you've also had your challenges in connectivity and being together. Have you felt, as a management team, the lift in intensity amongst your playing group when you were all able to get together this week on Monday, the magnitude of the occasion? What has it done to the energy within this group?
Yeah, Matthew, I think we all understand. I think we have made peace with that, with the fact that we are living in a very, very challenging times, you know, where we know very well that the team that's going to adapt the best, you know, will have a better chance to win the series, you know. So the same challenges that we were facing as a Springbok team, I think the other teams out there also facing the same challenges. So that is something that we were up for it. We knew that it's going to be a challenge. But once again, after we had all our players back into the into the squad, you know, getting guys like Sia, Franz Malherbe, Bongi, and those gentlemen, Hande Pollard, when they join the squad, you know, you can just feel the vibe. You can just feel the energy. It's just totally on another level because of this. These are the guys that knows what it takes, you know. They've been there, some of them. I know some of them haven't played against Petit and Aris Lions. But these guys are professional enough to understand when to switch on, you know. So that is something that I've, the past probably 5 days, that we've enjoyed as coaches because of, if you look at a guy like Sia and having guys like Bongi around, Andre Pollard, those guys are, they've got proper head over their shoulders. They are very, very, very experienced, and they know how to put the team together. So we've been in a good position this week, and yeah, we are actually once again excited, Matthew, to hit the four lines tomorrow, you know, and hopefully everything will go according to our plan.
And given the disruptions and the challenges that you've had, how important for you to be able to select the back line, including the return of Mazzola, Martini on the one wing,
yeah,
to start in the Rugby World Cup final? There has to be that level of familiarity there, which will be crucial.
Yeah, the nice thing about Mazzola, he doesn't get unfit. He comes from the rural areas. So that gentleman has been working for the rest of his life. So naturally, he's the fit player. And he is missing last week with us. Yeah, probably it was sad for him. But once again, I know one thing for sure, that he's very professional. He looks after himself. And he's been training well this week. And he knows the plan with him going to this game, that he's going to have to push all the way for 80 minutes. And I don't doubt at all that he's got what it takes because of, once again, when it comes to the rural areas, you are naturally fit because of that's your daily life, everything that you do in the they call it as lali in Matthew. So in the rural areas, normally they walk. So I'm not worried at all about Mazzola's conditioning and fitness. I know one thing for sure, he's going to be up for the challenge tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ram.
You know, on different kinds of topics, particularly the one where the tour being moved to the Western Cape gives the Lions a bit of an advantage because they don't have to contend with altitude. Do you guys agree with that? And how much of an advantage is that for the British and Irish Lions not having to contend with any altitude in this field?
You can go for it.
No, I think with the obviously, like Coach said earlier, we are living in a time of uncertainty at the moment, and you know we have to adapt in everything that's happening. We would have loved to play as everything was scheduled, but it is what it is right now. But I don't think it gives anyone advantage because we're all training in the same place. And it's all going to be on Saturday. I think the advantage comes is whose plan is working the most. You know, we've made plans for this, and our plans haven't changed at all. It doesn't matter what we're playing in the world. It is what it is. This is our game plan, and that's what we're going to do. And we're going to make sure that we put it on the field and make sure that it works against their game plan. So that's all who's going to win. And it's all about who's obviously fit and who's going to be able to remain and do that for 80 minutes. That's where the advantage will come, who is able to adapt and enforce their game plan for 80 minutes on the field.
Yes, apologies. Good afternoon, Sia. In the lead-up to the World Cup final, there was a lot of talk about getting a win for the people back in South Africa to raise spirits. Are you having the same kind of conversations this week with all the problems in South Africa at the moment with the unrest and COVID as well?
Yeah. Obviously, our first and foremost thing is to make sure, you know, we're prepared before we can even say that. So our main focus has been making sure that everything that he's doing is on par. We're working hard. Our fitness levels are there. Our plan is there. And obviously with the time like this, I don't know, it always happens that, you know, when we have big tournament or big series like this, that unfortunately something that is not going well in our country. And obviously we are South Africans before we are Springbok rugby players, and what affects our people affects us as players. And we're gonna do everything we can to make sure we focus on the job that we have to do, and make sure that, you know, as Coach Rusty said in the World Cup, you know, what we do, we're in a place of privilege. You know, we're doing what we love each and every single day, and that we are able to put a smile on someone's face, or we are able to, for a moment in time, let everybody else just forget or put their problems aside and focus on what we're doing. And when we win, they feel like they win too. And no matter how difficult the situation is, that we are always able to pull together, you know, because we've got families, we've got friends, we've got people who are out there who will suffer during this time, you know. And we want to make sure that while we still have the privilege to be able to do what we love, that we give it our ultimate best. And, you know, we know the people will be behind us, no matter what it is they're going through. And we want to make sure we give it everything and give it our best on Saturday. And if we are able to put a smile on someone's face, that will obviously make us happy and drive us even more to make sure that we don't give up on that goal, that we give our ultimate everything.
Yeah. And your wife will also forgive you for leaving her with four kids.
Yeah, but again, we'll call you too far and we'll say, please. Yeah, she will, it's true, but...
Yeah, from my side, as a Springbok team, we don't appoint officials. You know, I think that's a job for World Rugby. So I wouldn't really go deep into that and say we are happy or unhappy with the officials, you know, because of it's not in our hands, you know. But once again, those guys, I know one thing for sure, they're all professional and they all respect their job, you know. And so once again, to us, it doesn't affect us. The main thing is to focus on how we want to play the game. So if they've got a problem with that, unfortunately, they can go and have a chat with the World Rugby regarding that, you know. So, and on the other side, the second question about, what was the second question?
The set piece dominance.
Oh, they say they've dented our ego. I think from my side, I'm not going to go deep on that one. We were happy as a Springbok team. Once again, if you look at the most important stat in the game, which is the final score, you know, we won the game, so I'm not too sure what it is that they've tended against us. And I'm not going to fall in that trap where I play the minds game. I'm not a minds game person, so the game is going to be played between the four lines. So if Gatling is talking about the Eagles, he doesn't really know much about us as South Africans, and I'm not going to go deep on that. So let's wait and see tomorrow after the game, you know, and hopefully we can give people a good show of rugby. We know they're going to be tough. We know they're going to be physical, you know. So once again, when it comes to the ego, we'll see the egos between the four lines.
Thanks, Ray. See, if I could maybe just follow up on that question. I mean, as Daniel mentioned, there's been quite a bit of talk out of the Lions camp about this officiating and the team appointments, Rossi's role as a water carrier. I mean, has it reached you, that sort of stuff, and maybe quietly firing you up a little bit before the test match?
Oh, no. Of course, my only job is to play, and my only job is to do what the team is required of me, and my only job is to prepare and see what the Lions are bringing to us, you know, and make sure that I'm ready to play. All the other stuff, that's out of my control. I can't focus on that, and it definitely doesn't get to us as a team. There are people that have those kind of jobs to look after that kind of stuff, so I leave that up to them. But what I can control is when I turn on the field, talk to the ref, and talk to my teammates around me and prepare for the game. You know, I always believe, like, whatever is supposed to happen on Saturday will happen. So other than that, I don't even get involved in those kind of things because I've got a far bigger job to do on the field.
Thank you very much. And we
Hi guys, Sia Soka and Ryan. Sia, firstly, with the isolation, how did that go, and was the first point of your readiness for this week? And then secondly, to both of you guys, Gatlin's Wales team, they played a very tight game in that World Cup semi-final, but looking at the Lions team that was selected for this week, do you expect different tactics from them?
Salaam alaikum. My COVID record. Listen, my friend, I think, like, for me, honestly, I didn't have a lot of symptoms, but I was fortunate with that. I didn't have anything at all. I think I was fine by the second day, and so that didn't play a big role in me. I think it was all on the mental thing, you know, just being isolating the room. But I obviously, what helped me the most is that I was still part of the meetings, talking to teams, I was viewing videos, and I was adding input to the guys that were playing in the game before, talking to Marco, making sure that Marco knows every single role that he needs to know before he gets on Saturday, because that's what we're about. Just because you're not playing, that doesn't mean you're off. The next thing for you to do is to make sure that the next guy around you knows his job, he's as prepared as much as he can, because at the end of the day, the most important thing in our group is the Springboks, and we want to make sure whether you're playing or not that you're actually adding value some way or another. So in that regard, I was fine because I had a lot of things to keep me positive and to keep me active during the time.
Yeah, Ashwaka, going back to your question about how we played against them in the World Cup and what we expect from them, once again, this is not a secret. The way we played against them in the semi-final, it was designed for that game. You know, because we knew what they're going to bring to us. We knew all the challenges, you know. And people, they forget that before that game, the last time we beat Wales before the semi-final, I think it was about 3 years, if not 4 years, you know. So, and then when we did our analysis to look back of whatever the things that we were doing that we needed to work on, you know. So, once again, so everyone is talking about the kicking game in that game. So, that was something that we mainly focused on, knowing that, you know, without giving too much, we wanted to make sure that we're going to stay in that fight, you know, because they are good at what they've planned. They're good at executing their plan. So it was our plan also to counter whatever they're going to bring on the table in that game. And yes, one thing for sure that you'll expect a lot of kicking game in this game also. If you look at the influence of the guys that are in that team, a guy like Stuart Hawk, who's really, really got a good boot, you know. Bigger, who's also very good. And even the guys that will come off the bench, Conor Murray and Farrell, you know. So those guys, they're gonna challenge us. But once again, I've been saying this throughout the whole week, is that when it comes to playing against the British and Irish Lions, we're going to have to be at our best in all the departments. We know they've got a good kicking game. And also on a day when you give them space out wide with their outside backs, they will be dangerous. And also, we can't neglect the physical impact that a guy like Duan will bring in the back line, you know. I think they've selected a strong side physically, but also with pace. So we've got good plans also in place. And yeah, like Sia mentioned earlier on, I think the team that's going to execute their plan very well, and be desperate for 80 minutes, I think that's the team that's going to win tomorrow. And hopefully that will be us.
Thank you.
And then next question will come from Bill. Hi, first one for Andile. Will Rafi be running the water tomorrow? And secondly, for Sia, how confident are you personally that you're match fit, having had that time in isolation and so little rugby for the last
20 months, sir.
Yes, sir. To keep it short and sweet, Russell will be running the water tomorrow. That is his role now in the team, to assist Jacques Ninaba as a head coach. So he will be there, and he will be running around, bringing water on the field to the players. And we as the Springbok Rugby, we are happy with that.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. I've prepared in the training sessions, and and felt like I hadn't missed training for a couple of days. So I do feel good. But obviously, I do know that if it gets to a place where I'm tired and I can't go anymore, I know my coach is right here. They know me. They know the signs when I'm tired. They will definitely take me off the field, whether that's early in the first half or in the second half. It doesn't matter. That's just the code, and that's what we live by. That's our motto in our team. If you've given up, you've given everything you can, and you just can't anymore, it's someone else that's sitting on the bench can definitely do the same work as you do. And our coaches are very good at noticing that and making those subs in the right time. So yeah, I'm full confident to go as hard as I can and not hold back anything, not save myself, because I know what's waiting in the bench is just gonna turn it up even more.
Yes, yeah. Thanks, Rayon. Just actually on that, you mentioned going at full tilt here because you obviously have the backup of a bench and that type of thing. I was just wondering, with regards to, you know, this whole debate of the Springboks here not having a lot of game time under their belts going into the series, there's been a lot of talk that you know, Argentina gave all teams, you know, that are underprepared a bit of inspiration last year in that rugby championship. But what they've also mentioned is that obviously they've burnt out almost a bit. They didn't win a game again after the rugby championship and stuff. So I was just wondering, there hasn't been any talk, you know, of you guys just like doing this in a measured way. You guys are going to go out full out and not worry about, you know, the consequences that might, you know, come in the later tests and that type of thing. And I suppose also at least most of your squad has played, you know, rugby, not like the Argentinians that came in cold, you know, from the start.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think you answered it there. And also we have depth, you know. We have a lot of guys who can play here. And, you know, there are guys who are at home now who can also come back. But our main focus is this first test. And we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that we win the first test. And we give everything to that. And the second one, we worry about that when the final whistle goes. So we're not going to worry about the future test because, I mean, this is a big series. It's not going to come another 12 years. So, and most of us will not get this opportunity again. So we don't have the privilege to be thinking about, we're worrying about the championship or anything like that. Or even the second test match, we worry about this first one. And what happens after that, if guys are burning out, someone else will come back in. It's an opportunity for someone else. And that's why we work as hard as we can and we prepare each other and we make sure everybody knows what to do. Just in case if someone falls out, someone else will just fit in.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ray. I've got two questions. One for Rastika, obviously in this course, and then one for Sia in English. Sia, Raynard asked us to talk about roles during the week, and he said he'd probably go on as a 6 or 7. On the other side, the Lions have named two of his top blankets in their 23, which would give clear signals of a tough breakdown matter from both sides. Dwayne did a good job of complimenting you in this department. Now, my question is to you, Sia. All coaches spoke about roles. What would your role be for this game?
It hasn't changed. My role has always been the same. Make sure I look after our breakdown, and we've got natural fetches in our team. We have guys that can put their hands in the breakdown, and when the opportunity presents itself, I put my hand in too. But yeah, we have guys in the team that can actually go in the breakdown. You know, some of them are not the loose forwards; they play in other positions. But my most important thing is to make sure our tackles secure our own breakdown and put pressure on their breakdown too. So. And, you know, and PT is the same. He's a hard guy. He will get us forward momentum. He'll make the big tackles, and he's a workhorse. We've got souls who can go all day long, too. So we all have our roles, and nothing has changed for me. Same role as I played in the World Cup or against Georgia. I've got exactly the same role. I mean, Kwakha, you know, he is very good at the breakdown too. So I'm not going to chase just to try and compete against the opposite number across me to try and get as many skills as I can. I've got a system, stick to the system. If opportunity presents itself, I'll get in there. But for me, I have to look after our own ball.
That's it.
Yes, right, so we in this course, so I'll take it at the end of the
okay.
The English questions.
Okay, thank you.
And then one, two, three, so.
Hi, Ray, I've also got a personal question.
Sanonqaba madoda, sanonqaba.
Masize man, sanonqaba. We won food on maqhalo ampha.
Yeah, hi guys. I read in the bill that Zuhan for the moment is going to ignore any potential chirps that come his way from the Springboks. There seems to be a lot of chat about potential Springbok chats. I mean, Is that found in anything? I mean, you guys kind of going about your business, it seems like there's an attempt to kind of turn the heat up when there's it. I mean, just what's your mood around the mind game sitting in this game?
You clearly haven't heard anything from our side, and we've never been that kind of team, and we'll never be that kind of team. We're going about our business, we focus on the game, we don't going to focus on one player. You know, so that definitely doesn't come from our side. So I don't know anything about that because we haven't came out and said this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna be chirping. No, we don't do that. We save our energy for the work that we need to do.
And you know very well we are good people as South Africans. If it wasn't for the pandemic, we would have surely invited Duan for a bright place.
Afternoon, Ronald. Thanks very much. Afternoon, Sia and Zandile. Zandile, if I could just ask you, we touched on obviously a lot of talk about the Springboks being underdone, but do you feel that because you guys have got such a settled game plan, and it's a game plan that I don't want to call it simplistic, but it's one that everyone seems to understand. Do you think that's a bit of that kind of negates underdone talk of it?
I think from my side, first things first, as a coaching staff, I think we are in a good position because of, if you look at the squad that we've got here, probably about 13 players that will be playing this game start at the World Cup final. So it's only Kwakha who was also part of the World Cup squad. And then Oxenjay in that match 15 that is starting. Oxenjay is the only player who was not with us in the World Cup. So once again, if you're saying we are underdone, we had about more than 3 years with these guys, you know, and there's something that people must make peace with. It is that, listen, as a South African team, do you understand, there are certain things that we can't run away from them, you know, they are our strengths. So we can't just go and comment about, for example, All Blacks and say they know they need to change their style of play where they mustn't pass the rugby ball too much. That is who they are. That's how they were raised at a young age. So same goes with us. When it comes to the physical side of the game, it is in our DNA, you know. And when it comes to the set pieces, we do take pride in what we do when it comes to that. When there's opportunities for us to play fancy, good running rugby, we need to earn it first. You know, we need to make sure that we get momentum in the game. So, once again, we're not going to comment much about what people are saying about our style of play. And once again, I'm going to say this. If it means it's going to win us the World Cup, we will carry on playing that way. If it means we're going to win the series because of the way we are playing, that is the most important thing to us. After 10 years to 20 years, people will forget how we play the game. Some, they will even forget the final score. But they will remember that the Springboks won the World Cup in 2019. So unfortunately, I'm not going to go deep on our style of play. We are very proud to be South Africans, and we enjoy the way we're playing rugby.
Thank you.